We've been talking about what it's like, or might be like, to die, which is not exactly a fun thing to think about, and it can be terrifying. Sometimes, when people get a terminal diagnosis, the fear and anxiety is so overwhelming, it can ruin the time they have left. Dr. Charles Grobe, a psychiatrist and researcher at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, believes he may have an answer. Hallucinogens. He's been studying how psilocybin, the psychoactive component of magic mushrooms, can reduce death anxiety for end-stage cancer patients. He told Charles Monroe Kane how his experiments work.
We start with your typical drab hospital room, and we fixed it up very nicely. My two associates that I work with were very inventive in coming up with ways to really make the room more attractive, more appealing. We had lots of fabrics hanging from the ceiling, kind of cocooning them in. We brought in flowers for the day of the session. And we encourage subjects to bring in important mementos, particularly photographs from their past, including early past, and photographs of important relatives. Yeah, it was quite a moving experience to sit with them for those many hours while they went deep into the experience, for the most part just lying quietly in bed, eyes closed, eye shades on, headphones on, listening to music. Every hour we checked in with them, checked the blood pressure, I checked in, made sure they were okay, but I didn't want to engage in too much conversation during the acute effect stage. So again, I would encourage them after a while to just go deeply, and we would have lots of time later on to talk about what they were experiencing.
You know, I mean, we're talking about going deeply into their experience. These are people who are about to die. So right. The experience they're going deeply into is their own death. Why do you think they want to do this?
Well, I think many of our subjects were experiencing profound existential issues. They had lost their sense of meaning and purpose. And I think there was a sense that not only might the experience help them to be less anxious and less depressed, it might also kind of reconnect them with their core identity, which the illness often kind of takes them away from.
Can you give me an example? Is there some particular person you can think of that you just was profoundly changed by this experience and you saw it happen?
Sure. There was one woman, this was her first experience ever with a hallucinogen. She was she's around 50 years old. She had a great deal of anxiety, had been isolating herself from friends, had kind of retreated from the world, waiting to die, and was just in a psychologically very disturbed state. That was her self-report. At the one-hour point when initially people start to inform us that there's something going on internally, she told us she wasn't having any experience yet. At the second hour point, same. At the third hour point, she still said she wasn't having any experience. But, you know, at the 4-hour point, when she told us that nothing was going on, I had one of the psychiatry residents working with us at that time, and I'd put him in charge of music selection, and I told him that, you know, I think you're playing music that's too mellow. Do you have anything that's a little more dissonant, that has a little more oomph to it? I think we need to challenge her a little more. And he said, well, I have nothing up here, but down in my car, I have Dead Can Dance.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great choice.
Lisa Gerrard and Dead Can Dance. Yeah. That was perfect. So I said, okay, go get it. He races down to the parking lot, gets the CD, brings it up, pops it in, and within 10 minutes, the floodgates had opened, and tears are streaming down her face. And, you know, I just let her cry. And meanwhile, I'm assuming that why she's crying is because she's getting in touch with her shortened life expectancy. But when I checked in at the next hour point, I found out that that was nothing at all like what was really going on, that her subjective experience was essentially getting in touch with memories of her father, who had long since been deceased. And she said she cried for the lost opportunities she had had while he was still alive to tell him how much she loved him. And they were not an expressive family. And she cried because while she knew that he loved her, he had never expressed that to her. And for her, it was a very, very healing experience. And afterwards, her anxiety appeared much less. She had previously, before the study, been on an antidepressant, but afterwards, she found no need to go back on the antidepressant, incredible. That it really seemed to re-equilibrate her mood.
You know, I would assume at least a number of our listeners have taken hallucinogens before. Mushrooms with friends in the woods, mescaline at a rave, LSD at a Grateful Dead concert, or I bet if I asked them all in a survey if they wanted to take a bunch of hallucinogens in a hospital and contemplate their own death, they would say, man, that sounds like a terrible trip. Obviously, for patients, it was not a bad trip. What's the difference?
Well, you know, I think when individuals are really confronting such a challenging predicament as the approaching end of life, you know, they are willing to undertake such an experience as we offered. All of our subjects express a lot of gratitude that this opportunity was open to them. And of course, I think if we had asked them years earlier when they were in their prime of health, most of them would not likely have accepted such an invitation. I think it really takes extreme circumstance for people to step up and say, I'm willing to try that.
You know, if you were diagnosed with terminal cancer and had only a few months to live, would you want to take psilocybin in your final days?
Well, I think that would be an option well worth considering, as long as it was feasible to do it in an approved, sanctioned manner with facilitators who knew what they were doing and could help to create optimal conditions. Observing what I observed in my patients, absolutely.
Do you think that psilocybin would help for people who aren't terminal but still want to come to grips in a proper environment with the idea of death or even the idea of an existential crisis? Would you suggest that?
One approach we've considered, the possibility of facilitating a treatment for the partner of the individual who is dying, because that person is also quite often in crisis. For them, denial has been stripped away, you know, and also to really help them prepare for the grieving process. I think that might be an interesting model to work with next.
Yeah, especially if they did it together, it seems like that could be a very, very, very powerful experience for a couple.
Well, you know, together would have some logistical issues, but I would also say that with some of our subjects, what was also quite notable was the very, very significant improvement in the quality of their relationships with significant others. I've had some subjects whose important relationships seemed to be on the rocks with the stress of what was going on. And after their treatment, at least with some of our subjects, it was quite moving to see the manner in which they were able to connect and bond with their significant other and other family members.
Charles Grobe is a psychiatrist and researcher at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. If you want to know more about his research on psilocybin and the end of life, visit our website. That's at ttbook.org/death.